Part 15, Chapter 3. As the days wore on into weeks, it became obvious to the council, originally composed of the parson, the schoolmaster, the historian, and Robert the Fox, and now augmented by several clan chiefs who left deputies in Scotland, that Johnny was brooding about something. He would smile at them from his bed and talk to them when spoken to. But there was something deep in his eyes that was dull and moody. Chrissy tried not to let them come very often. And when they did, she was a bit impatient with them if they overstayed. Some of the Russians and some Swedes were rebuilding parts of the academy due to the desperate need for pilots. Until the ancient Capitol building in Denver could be rebuilt, the council had a room at the academy. They could get to both the compound and the underground military base from there, and all their berthing quarters were there. At this particular meeting, Robert the Fox was walking up and down, his kilt flaring out each time he turned, his claymore held snug enough by an ancient officer's belt from the base, which also held a Smith & Wesson, knocking against chairs.
Something is bothering him. He's not like the old Johnny.
Does he think we are doing something wrong?
Said the chief of Clan Fergus.
No, it isn't that,
said Robert the Fox.
There's not a scrap of criticism for anyone in his makeup. It's just he seems worried.
The parson cleared his throat.
It just could be his sight has something to do with it. He cannot much move his right arm, and he cannot walk as yet. He is, after all, used to being about, and very briskly as well. After all, the lad had a dreadful time of it. All alone, injured. I can't think how he managed. All that time in a cage earlier. You're all expecting too much, too fast, gentlemen. He is a brave spirit, and I have faith.
Could be wary over the possibility of a cyclo counterattack,
said the chief of Clan Argyle.
We must reassure him somehow,
said the chief of Clan Fergus.
Heaven knows we are working hard enough on planetary affairs.
And they were. The World Federation for the Unification of the Human Race had been formed from those Johnny had not accepted for the group that had come with him to America. Some 200 young Scots and another 50 oldsters had done their beginning work well. In two dangerous but successful raids, one to the site of an ancient university named Oxford, and another to a similar ruin at Cambridge, they had obtained language books and a mound of material on other countries. They had worked out where isolated groups of humans might still be, and had formed up a unit for each language they thought might still be in use. Their selection was proving not far off, and ruler-bruised hands attested to the diligence of their study. They called themselves coordinators, and they were making a vital contribution all over the world where groups were being found.